Hey, welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. So glad you joined me today on this Monday morning, and we're going to begin a new series on the resurrection of Jesus, the power and significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the most significant event in all of human history. It is the bedrock of the Christian faith. That is why it has been the subject of the most vehement attacks of the opponents of Christianity, the atheists and the agnostics, because they know that if they can destroy the resurrection, everything else comes crumbling down, because it is the bedrock of our faith. As Paul said in a letter to the believers in the city of Corinth, he said, if Christ is not risen, then your faith is in vain, and we are of all people most miserable. But he goes on and says, but now Christ is risen and has become the first fruits of those who are asleep. And he's using the word asleep as a euphemism for death. And he says that Christ has become the first fruits. What does he mean by that? Well, the scriptures often speak of the first fruits. In fact, the Feast of Pentecost was a celebration of first fruits. In other words, when the first part of the crops came to fruition, they paused to celebrate, because that was a guarantee that the rest of the crop now was going to come in, and they were going to have a bountiful harvest. So Paul calls the resurrection of Jesus the first fruits of the resurrection. In other words, he's the first one to be resurrected and rise from the dead. But Paul says now there's a whole harvest of resurrections that's coming after him. And it is those who have put their faith in Jesus and put their trust in him. And as Paul also said, how the resurrection here shows how it's fundamental to our faith. He said, if you will confess, he told us how to be saved. If you will confess Jesus as Lord, and the Greek word is kurios, meaning supreme, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Do you see how that believing, you cannot be saved if you do not believe in the reality of the physical resurrection of Jesus? It's the bedrock. It's fundamental to our faith. And this is in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Paul says, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord or supreme, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So belief in the resurrection is fundamental to salvation and to the Christian faith. How we need to proclaim the resurrection. The early church did not celebrate the resurrection of Jesus once per year. If you read the book of Acts, their lives, their witness, their preaching, their message was consumed with the message of the resurrection. Jesus was alive. That was the all-important fact that changed everything. If Jesus had not come out of the tomb, they would have just been a motley group of fearful, cringing, hopeless individuals whose hopes had been dashed because they had seen him arrested by the Romans and crucified and buried. But you see, that is one of the evidences. And we're going to look this week at evidences of the resurrection. And that is one of the very powerful evidences of the resurrection is the radical transformation of the disciples from fearful, cringing individuals into bold, fearless witnesses of Jesus, that he was alive. Consider the situation before the resurrection when Jesus was arrested. The Bible says when he was arrested in the garden, it says they all forsook him. And this was the fulfillment of one of the many, many messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, where there is an Old Testament messianic prophecy that says, smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And this is what happened. Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the disciples, in fear, they all forsook him, because if they were going to arrest Jesus, then they're also, it's most likely, going to arrest his followers. Now, the Bible goes on to say that Peter followed afar off, or at a distance, because he didn't want to be identified with Jesus. He wanted to see what was going to happen, where they were going to take him. But in fear, he did not want to be identified with him. So he followed afar off to the home of the high priest where they took Jesus. And Jesus was taken in and he was being interrogated. And Peter is in the courtyard, and apparently it is cold because there's a fire there. And Peter gets close to the fire to warm himself. And this is when he denies him. One person says to him, aren't you one of the followers of Jesus? And Jesus and Peter did, oh no, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what you're talking about. Then somebody comes along and says, oh, didn't I see? Must have been one of those who had arrested you. Hey, didn't I see you in the garden with Jesus? And the Bible says that Peter swore with an oath. Man, this is serious stuff. I tell you, I don't know him. And then the third time it came, someone came along and said, you must be one of the followers of Jesus because you have that Galilean accent. And the Bible says that Peter vehemently, with cursing and swearing, said, I tell you, I don't know this man. Oh, the mercy and the grace of God. Peter was in fear. They were all in fear. The Bible tells us that one of those times where in one of his post-resurrection appearances, and perhaps this was the first one, this is in John, it must have been the first one, because it says they were in hiding and they were behind closed or locked doors. This is a direct quote from the scripture, for fear of the Jews. They were living in fear. But something happened. The fact that there is a worldwide Christian movement, a Christian church on every continent with hundreds of millions of followers, devotees willing to lay their lives down for Jesus, something obviously happened. And we know what happened in the book of Acts. Those first disciples, they were suddenly transformed into bold and fearless witnesses of Jesus. Why? Because they had seen the risen Lord. They knew he was alive, and they believed what he said, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And they were arrested for their preaching. They were ordered by the Sanhedrin, the highest authoritative body among the Jews there in Israel, the Sanhedrin, 70 elders, and they were commanded with threats to not speak or preach in the name of Jesus. But Peter stood boldly before them, the same Peter that had denied him before, and they said, we ought to obey God rather than men, rather than you, rather than people. We ought to obey God. They refused to back down. What made the big change? They had seen the Lord. They knew he was alive. And that had changed everything. They knew he had fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. They knew he had fulfilled his own predictions. Jesus himself said he would rise from the dead. I think it's in John chapter 2, verse 19, it was after he had cleansed the temple and turned over the tables of the money changers. And the Jewish authorities came and said, what sign are you going to show us that you're doing all these things that will prove that you have the right to be doing this? And Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. And they said, well, this temple, I forget how long Herod's temple, let's just go over and let's look at that and see how long it took, because they thought he was talking about the Jewish temple there in Jerusalem. But he was talking about the temple of his body and his resurrection. So the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? And then, but John, who's writing this gospel, says, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. And the disciples knew, you know, Jesus said and taught many things. He claimed himself to be God. Before Abraham was, I am. He told about what was going to happen at the end of the world. He talked about heaven. He talked about hell. He talked about salvation. He talked and talked about so many things. And when he came out of the grave, when he fulfilled his prediction that he would arise after 3 days, the disciples knew everything else he said was true. He has checked all the boxes of the Old Testament prophecies. He is the Messiah. He's God's appointed ruler and king for Israel and for the universe. So now everything has changed. They are bold witnesses. And by the way, according to reliable history and tradition, every one of the 12 except John were martyred for their faith. Now, John, we know he was banished to an island in the Mediterranean because of his faith, the Isle of Patmos. But all of the others, they were put to death for their faith. They had the opportunity to deny the Lord. But how could they deny the one that they had walked with and seen crucified and then seen him and ate with him after the resurrection? How could they deny him? And every one of them gave their lives for the message of the resurrection. Now, there are a few people who will lay down their lives for what they know is the truth. But how would you ever find anyone who would suffer and die for what they know is a lie? You're not going to find people who will suffer and die for what they know is a lie. Those earliest witnesses, they knew that Jesus was alive. Hallelujah. And so we can sing those old hymns, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Oh, I'm going to tell you today, my friends, Jesus is alive with all authority in heaven and in earth, and you can put your trust in him, and we need to let the world know that Jesus is alive, and he is the only hope for this old wretched world in which we live. God bless you. I'm Eddie Hite. We're going to be talking about the resurrection this week, and so you don't want to miss any of these. And we're going to make application to how the resurrection power can make such a difference in your life and in your friends and family. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com, and I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.